Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am. You chose to be with me, or found me by accident, as it were, on this beautiful November 3rd, 2018. We're going to look at, are we over it yet? When do we get over anything? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And hopefully I'll be able to give you some help on that blessed subject of letting go, which is something I think a lot of us have a great deal of difficulty about. It is a challenge. So is getting you to be a donor. This is really a challenge. Our mystery donor is being very kind and generous this year by matching donations. And we're in our fundraising drive, our year-end fundraising drive that we do. It is very important that you become a donor, or that you make a donation. Any kind of donation allows us to sustain this radio program, our TV program, and everything that we do on Aspire, including my hospice work. I mean, everything we do. And without your contributions, well, I could not be here. So I'm hoping that you will take the time to become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see year-end donations. There's a couple of little gifts there for you, a wonderful story about the five fools that Buddha taught, and a little video from me, and also, of course, the opportunity for you to give. When you become a sponsor, many wonderful things open up. You get access to all of my commentaries. I do them twice a month, and they're very important. If you're serious about an authentic spiritual practice and not just intellectually throwing it around like so many people do, but if you're really interested in how this works, what it's about, what are the, so to speak, the difficulties, the answers to those difficulties, all those things are contained in all of the various subjects I have written about in the commentaries, podcasts, videocasts. You also get the message of the month sent to you, or you can download it from the website at aspire.org. And then to add to all of this, you get all of the little discourses I did that were very much involved in the Aspire TV series, from The Sound of One Hand Clapping to Nobody Likes You Anyway, to The Eightfold Path of Buddha, to The Heart of the Tao. There's all sorts of them there for you, and I hope that you will avail yourself of them and find them profoundly helpful to you. It takes a certain kind of person to appreciate inner work. And it's actually for a different kind of human being, one that is much different than, what we usually think of as a normal person. This is a person who is seeking not only service to themselves, but also realizes what it means to have service towards humankind. And this is a very important thing. I can't emphasize it enough, especially in our world today. Go take a look. When are we over it? When are we over it? Well, that's an interesting thing. And should we ever be over it? And yada da yada da. So let's take a look at some of the questions. The first one comes from Kay in Los Angeles. She listens to us regularly and often has wonderful questions. I mean, she must be with it here. How will I know if I'm done with something that was very painful in my life? It just seems to reoccur over and over again in my mind. Kay, there are so many reasons why the mind cannot get over anything. It just can't get over anything. It can't get over itself, actually, and that's a big issue with the mind. It has a lot to do with our emotionality and our genetic nature and the way our brains work, both chemically and genetically, and how the synapses fire off and the neurons do what they do and keep reminding us over and over and over again of certain attributes, things, conditions, circumstances that we have that impressed us, that imprinted us emotionally speaking. So when you have all of that going on with whatever is happening in your life, and you sit back and you think, well, I went through this and this and this, and then the mind reimburses you with all sorts of doubts and fears and angers and hostilities and all sorts of crazy things, you start to really realize, do I get over anything? Can I get over anything? When will I know, you say, if I'm done with something? Nothing ever leaves our livingness until we understand what it was there for. I must understand this inside me. I must accept it. And the reason it is there is never the reason that Greg Penn mind can think, that Greg Penn mind can understand. It's about something bigger. It's about something much, much bigger than his mind would be able to afford to think. I mean, when you look back at your life, Kay, and you kind of see where you are now compared to where you were, and you see maybe, if you're observant, how you overreacted, how we all overreacted to certain things instead of, and conditions that we could have turned water into wine with. We really could have. But we didn't, because we were too busy defending our genetic nature. We were too busy defending our humanness and trying to cultivate vengeance and happiness through pride and vengeance, I should say. And we did all of this over and over and over again, thinking that if we did this kind of thing, we were avenging ourselves or doing things that were important to our ego, our pride, our state of being, and we just never really realized what the heck we were doing. Why were we doing all this? Why was all of this happening? And because my mind thinks in very small circles, and because of my pedestrian mentality, which we all possess in our brain, it makes it very, very difficult for us to see the bigger picture of why anything is happening. A lot of things will not leave our life until they have imprinted us, or at least instilled in us, something that we need to understand about ourselves. And typically, it's a doubt we need to have about the way we operate, the way we live inside of ourselves. And I'll tell you what that doubt is about. It's about realizing that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate, as the Buddha taught. This is probably the biggest healing factor of our life. And it goes right across the board for about everything in our life. Until we realize the love in us, we are going to continue to ruminate over and over and over again on things that happened many, many years ago, and not really understanding what our part was, what we're doing, who we are, what we are, the way we are. And we'll just keep it going and going and going. I've watched people hold resentment and hostility towards others for their entire life, something that was done years and years ago. And whether or not you think it was valid, or they did something really wrong and betrayed you, whatever, people betray us all the time. I'm betrayed constantly. Jesus was betrayed. You're betrayed. Everyone gets betrayed. It's a part of this life experience. And when you live in this life experience the way we do, you have to expect human beings to act like human beings. I'm not saying that this is a noble thing I'm talking about. I'm just saying you have to understand it's going to happen. They're going to act the way they're going to act. Now, the difficulty. What do we do with it? How do we live with it? What is important about it? How should we approach it? In forgiveness, in loving kindness. Kay, if we don't learn to forgive, if we don't learn that forgiveness is not a decree, it is a lifestyle, it is the way we live within ourselves, we will not mature. We will destroy ourselves. I do a lot of hospice work, as you know. And when I'm really dealing with the difficulties, it's the difficulties of the family. It isn't the person who's leaving their body. It's the family. And they're always fighting over, well, whatever. Usually it's money. And typically this is something that makes everybody crazy. And when people live in this fashion, in this way, they lose their compassion. We don't understand that forgiveness is a lifestyle. It is something that we live in and for and by. And when that happens, when you make it a lifestyle, it is about letting go. It's about helping others understand and ourselves understand the consequences of our life. So I like to keep it really simple. And I like what Jesus taught about it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, be as kind to others as you would like to be treated in kindness, no matter what. Now, if you do this, if you're able to do this, if you're willing to do this, a tremendous maturity will come over you. And then you will know when you're over something, because it's no longer a part of you anymore. It's no longer sticking out there emotionally and psychologically. It's no longer bugging you. And you can start to look at things from a different point of view, from the point of view of kindness. Love your enemy as yourself. These are very important teachings. That's the lifestyle of forgiveness. And it's something that most people simply are not interested in. I hate to say it, they're just not. We enter into the season of Thanksgiving, and to me, Thanksgiving is the most important part of our kind of tribal ceremonies here in the West. And the way I look at it is it's a chance to forgive. And the reason we have reduced Thanksgiving down to family and food is because we don't live in the kindness of our hearts and the thanksgiving of our being. So we merely make it a holiday rather than what I would call a change, a point of view and change, coming to that crucial place where we're willing to let go and let love live us. Kay, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope I help. Please forgive me, dear heart. Namaste. Never met Kay, but I love her questions. Next question from Ted in Las Vegas. Why do things keep coming back over and over again? I feel like I'm caught in a glass ceiling, Ted. We are. All of us are, until we've come to that blessed moment where we can release and let go, when we can awaken to what lives within us. There is a vast difference, Ted, between understanding my life and being aware of my life. In my understanding, my pedestrian mentality sticks out, and I can understand through reason and logic many things that occurred or do occur over and over and over again. I can see them as, well, this is a repetitious problem with society or with people, and this is a repetitious problem because, of work and the people that I work with. You can look at it from that point of view. And most people take that mentality, and that's as far as they ever go. And hence, they're miserable in their life, and they're miserable in their work, and they're miserable in their families. They're miserable, miserable. And then there's the other direction you can go, where you have a sense of awareness. Awareness is when you can awaken within yourself to your intuition. where you step out of the genetics and can really listen to your intuition, listen to how it works, listen to its presence in your life. Just listen. Listen without debate. Listen without prejudice of right and wrong, good and bad, moralism. Just listen. Like you would listen to the sound maybe of running water. Just listen. Now, if you do that, you will start to have an awareness of why, dear Ted, things keep happening the way they keep happening over and over and over and over again, because we're not maturing. We're not growing. We're not expanding. We're not coming to that blessed place where we can feel the presence of a love that is greater than our desires. Love, which includes forgiveness, must be far greater to us than our desire for being loved. And most people only seek adoration of human love. They want to be essential. And I have watched people do this over and over, men and women do this to nauseam, where they will do things for the sake of getting people to admire them, for the sake of adoration and not love. They want to be admired. And because of this desperate need for admiration, men and women will do almost anything they can to get people to notice them and to make up for the lack of self-love they have for themselves. My students are notorious for this. I tried to work with them in the whole idea of forgiveness and compassion, that whole thing, but they would rather have emotional gratification, what they think of as emotional satisfaction, for the way they live within themselves, being loved by what I call committee. Love by committee means that everybody has to love you. We all have to join in on the love fest of knowing you and love you that way. And if you get enough people to love you or like you, then bingo, you've hit the honeypot. That's why I did the series, Nobody Likes You Anyway, because nobody, I mean, no matter how hard you work or no matter what you do, everybody's in the background thinking to themselves, well, I wonder when they're going to fail. I wonder when this is all going to blow up. I wonder, blah, 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 blah. You can't please people, and you shouldn't be trying to do that. The reason things keep repeating on in my life is because I have not been aware of their source. I have not been aware of why they're there. I have not been aware of what it is in me that makes all this possible. I'm just not aware of it. And because I choose not to be aware of it, because my pedestrian mentality doesn't want to be examined, I just keep it going and going and going. So I always say this to couples, what do I put you through in order to love me? That's the big one. What do I put you through in order to love me? The same thing could be said, I think, of your life. What do I put myself through in order to sustain my life the way I do? Is it my prejudices? Is it my fears? Is it yes? Is it my anger? Oh, absolutely. Is it my hostilities? What is it that I am doing within myself that keeps this ball rolling and maintains this pain and sorrow in my life? You will see it all boils down to emotionality. And my emotionality is based in my genetics, and my genetics are there to serve my DNA, which is my need to survive. And once you understand all of this and you sustain it and keep it going the way you and I like to keep it going, oh my goodness, it turns into all sorts of ugly things. And then who knows what happens from there? I mean, as far as we're concerned, we often live in the drudgery of just living our life as a matter of rote rather than a matter of awakening, spiritual awakening. And would you really change your life? Really, would you change your life, Ted, if you found out what you were really doing? And changing your life meant upsetting the apple cart of your comforts, your gratifications, and all the things that you enjoy. I mean, would you? Probably not. So that glass ceiling is there over and over and over again. And I work with people day in and day out in counseling every day, 7 days a week. And I can tell you without a shadow of any doubt, people have their ways of living their life, but they won't break those ways and try something new and different. They just won't do it because they're comfortable where they are. And when you get comfortable, you're in trouble. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. I got to move on. Namaste. The last question comes from Joy. She does not, or he. Yeah, no, Joy's a girl name. At least I hope so, I think. I wouldn't want to misunderstand. Anyway, Joy doesn't tell me where Joy lives. Life seems futile. Everything is the same. Everything turns out the same. I'm bored. Help, Joy. You know, are you hearing a theme here? I am. I mean, I'm hearing a theme in the last two especially. Nothing changes, and yet no one really recognizes that for things to change, a person has to change. And we just don't do any of that. We just don't think in those terms. We don't think in how to change. So here's the deal, Joy. First, the first great change in your life is you have to see the state of your mind and what it's connected to that produce the thoughts that you have. So start looking at your emotionality. What is it that your emotions are constantly pushing you to, constantly telling you, not enough, not enough, not enough, get more, get more, get more. I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored. Just listen to them. Watch what they're doing. Don't do anything about it. Just watch. You could write it down. You could make a little journal about it. You could do anything. Just write it down. Number two, once you realize and recognize what these repetitive emotions are all about, then start looking at abandoning your emotions for the sake of becoming aware. Move into meditation. Watch your breath. Just watch. Build another kind of focus and attention, another kind of mind, a mind that's no longer, as Buddha would say, seeking to consider what is good or bad, right or wrong. A new mind. Just watch and breathe. As you watch and breathe and you realize, you will soon realize that only in these little techniques of letting go do you sidestep your emotionality. You will start to see another mind is born in you. An absolutely new mind is born in you. This mind wants for nothing. It is simply a mind. It is what we call in Zen a no mind, a mind not always in contemplation and dealing with good and bad and right and wrong kind of stuff. And then from there, you will want to start living a different lifestyle. And that's the big one, to have a different kind of lifestyle. Instead of the lifestyle where you live trying to acquire, you live a lifestyle where you inquire. You inquire about yourself. You inquire about love. You inquire about possibilities, not acquiring. One is trying to get, the other is being insightful. And the more insightful you are about any and all of this, the deeper will be your experience, and you will soon find the ability to have a mind that is no longer a satellite or a slave to your emotionality. And that, my dear one, will liberate you to your name, Joy. You will be a much, much different person and a much happier camper. And no matter what they throw at you, you will know that which lives within you. And it will be much more important to know it than to be scuttled by fear, hate, and anger. I'm out of here. Thank you, Joy, for your beautiful question. Thank you all for listening. Go take a look and become a sponsor. Help us sustain this radio program. We only have 2 months left here, and we need your help. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.